You're listening to an audio sermon by Pastor Bernard Mulder from Household of Christ. We trust that you will be encouraged and blessed as you listen to the Word of God.
I want to talk this morning a little bit about the revelation of Jesus. We need revelation and understanding of Jesus. In the book of Genesis, right in the beginning, God placed a lot of trees in the garden, but there was two specific trees that were mentioned. Two specific trees, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. Amen? And from the beginning, God gave instruction in righteousness. He says, don't touch this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? Genesis 2 verse 9, and out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Amen? So it was good trees to look at, beautiful, and they tasted nice. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can I just say this? God is not a God of right and wrong, but He's a God of good and evil. Amen? Sometimes you can be right, but your heart can be evil. And sometimes you can be wrong, but your heart can be good. When you make a mistake, a wrong, but you're ready to run to God and say, help me, that's a good heart. Amen? But I'm not going to say too much about that. That's for another day. Genesis 2 verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Many people, let me just say this, many people live good lives because they know the difference between good and evil. Many people make good decisions and live good lives. But you can make good decisions and still not have revelation of who Jesus Christ is, the tree of life. Jesus needs to be revealed to us. Just think about it. This tree is in the garden. The tree of life is in the garden. Did they go eat of that tree? No. Because they were living in the garden. They were clothed with God's glory and did not have the revelation or understanding that they actually needed that to live forever. Many of us know that we need God, but we don't realize how much we need God. Let's look at this Bible. Many people look at this Bible and they see words in here, letters in here. But how many people have revelation that this is the Word that became flesh? It manifested here on earth and we could see its glory. One of the first revelations that you'll get as a Christian is that this is the living Word. That every time you read the Bible, you are spending time with Jesus. It's a revelation that you need. Many people don't have it. Many people just read this and just see, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Oh, God must be a spoil sport to keep me away from all the things that I want to do. But when you read this and you know that this is the living Word, you know that every time you read it, Jesus is speaking to you, giving you instruction in righteousness. This basic revelation that you need is that this is the living Word. Can I have an amen? Amen. This Word, when you read it, it's got sanctification power, it's got healing power, it's got deliverance power. When you know that this is the living Word, it changes everything. A scripture that I often quote, Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is the light of my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Many people, when they hear this scripture, it's just words for them. Oh, the Lord is becoming my light. There's darkness in my life. I hope the light of God will expel that. But the emphasis on this scripture is the word is. He says, God is my light. God is my strength. Not He's becoming my strength. He is my strength. And we need revelation to know that the same is true of righteousness. Not God is becoming my righteousness. God is my righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. He is my holiness. Not he's becoming my holiness. We need to understand this and have a revelation of this, because then everything about our behavior and how we approach things will change. My holiness, my righteousness. Humility is not something you do. It's who you've become because of your total dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We need revelation to understand that righteousness is not something you do, or holiness is not something you practice and then you become more holy and more holy and more holy. But righteousness, holiness, is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. When you have that revelation, grace is a person, so that when you make a mistake, you know you can run to grace. And when you run to grace, you're going to find grace. Can I have an amen? Turn to the person that you say, when you run to grace, you receive grace. So everything God wants on the inside of us, when we are in Christ, we have become the righteousness of Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ, you are blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus, what Ephesians 1 verse 3 says. You're blessed with every blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you have that revelation that you're already blessed with those things, your walk will change, your talk will change, your confession will change. But when you don't have that revelation, then you think God is against you. Like one year, a lady came to me. I was a young pastor. She said to me, I wonder this year if God will be against us or if God will be for us. I said, no, you got the scripture wrong. The scripture says, if God is for us, who will be against us? Not if God is against us or for us. Amen? Can you see the need to reach up so that you can touch the heart of God and receive revelation? Allowing God to touch your heart, to receive the word of God with meekness into your heart, which is able to save your soul. And once you have that revelation, you'll be able to reach out to people. The Bible says in Psalm 68, blessed be the Lord God who daily loads us with his benefits, the God of our salvation. Do you know God daily loads you with his benefits? Just put the New American, the NASB, same scripture quickly there. I want to show you what it says. Blessed be the Lord God who daily bears our burden. There's some burdens that you are carrying that God says, I want to carry it. And you say, no, God, give it to me. I want to carry it. It's my burden. And God says, give it to me. I want to carry it. I was thinking about the song, if he carried the weight of the world. So there are certain things that you're carrying that God says, I want to carry it for you. A matter of fact, God has carried it on the cross for you already. So when it comes to spiritual things, I'm blessed with every blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When it comes to spiritual things, you need revelation. Spiritual things die once they are separated from revelation. So that's why you start thinking, is God against me? Does God really want to bless me? But when you have revelation of what God has done on the cross for you, what Jesus has done on the cross for you, blesses you. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. Turn to the person next to you, say, who redeems your life from destruction. God does not want to destroy your life. He wants to redeem your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You know, you can read this. You can read this Bible and see that Jesus forgives and still not have revelation that Jesus has forgiven you. You can read this and still not have revelation that you are blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus already. And I said, God, how many times have I read the Word? How many times have I engaged with Scripture, but I've not had revelation? What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Our heart's cry should be, Lord, reveal Jesus to me. Because I'm telling you, people are running away from Jesus because the Jesus that has been preached to people or presented to people are just letters and words. But if it is the grace of God, the mercy of God, the loving kindness of God, people's attitude would change. We need to reach up because we need revelation. We need revelation. Amen. So this week I was reading the book of Luke. I shared it with the people on Thursday night, and they said, please share it on Sunday. So turn with me in your Bibles to the last chapter in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24. I said, God, how is it that we can read Bible, pursue the things of Jesus, but not have revelation? Give me scriptures. Just show me that. How important is revelation? I mean, just think about it. Peter, all the disciples are around Jesus spending time, and he says, who do you say I am? Who am I? Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a prophet. Who do you guys say that I am? Peter says, you are the Christ. Says Peter, you didn't figure out this yourself. My Father in heaven revealed it to you. Jesus does not come to people through words, but comes to us through revelation. And we should say, Lord, reveal Jesus to me. Reveal Jesus to me. Revelation of Jesus. The book of Revelation, it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the book is all about, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So look at this. Luke 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling, underlined traveling, that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near. Underline, drew near. And went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Go to verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Underline, abide with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Let me just say this. As I was reading this, I thought, oh my God. Here are two men walking, and Jesus is next to them. You can be walking with Jesus and still not have revelation who Jesus is. You can be talking to Jesus, and Jesus can be talking to you, and you can still not have revelation of who Jesus is. Just from this scripture. The Bible says here, Jesus drew near to them. In the book of James, we know that God draws near to those with a humble heart. So it teaches us these men had humble hearts. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, no. When I'm reading this, I'm thinking, oh my word. They are walking with Jesus, but they don't have revelation that it's Jesus. They are talking to Jesus and Jesus is talking to them, but they don't have revelation that it's Jesus. Jesus is drawing near to them. They have humble hearts. Verse 29, come and abide with us. John 15, abide in me and I abide with you. You in me and I in you. And you'll ask whatever you want and I'm going to do it. Jesus is in their house. And they don't have revelation of who Jesus is. Can I talk to parents for 1 minute? How many of us are bringing Jesus in our house, in our homes, to our children, but they still don't have revelation of who Jesus is? They think Jesus is angry with them. We parent our children with the letter, the word, but they've never experienced the grace of God, the love of God, the kindness of God, the mercy of God. It's only with the breaking of the bread that Jesus is revealed to them. There are many people that hear the voice of Jesus. They see what Jesus is doing, but they don't know Jesus. Can you see the need for revelation of Christ Jesus to a dying world, revelation to the church? So you have people here hearing the voice, seeing what Jesus is doing, but they don't know Jesus. Paul, where are you? Come here. Come up with some of your guys. You have people, I want to demonstrate something to you. You have people that hear the voice of God. They see what Jesus is doing, but they don't know Jesus. Then you have a woman who's heard about Jesus, have revelation that there's healing in his wings. And she gets healed. So come and stand here. Here's Jesus, the Bible says, he's busy, there's people around him, touching him, pushing against him, pressing against him. And suddenly, there's one woman that comes and she touches the hem of his garment. Just stop there quickly like that. Are you pushing, pressing against Jesus? Are you touching Jesus? Can I say that again? Are you pressing and pushing against Jesus? Or are you touching Jesus? They were around him. They heard his voice. They saw what he was doing. They were only pressing against him. She heard about him. Malachi 4 verse 2 says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. This is called the wings. She had read a scripture, had revelation, that if I can just touch the wings, not touch him, not meet with him face to face, revelation, inspiration. Every report given to her, you cannot be healed. You're going to be sick forever. Disappointment, disappointment, disappointment. One scripture that brings inspiration, revelation. All of them are around him, pushing against him, pressing against him. One comes, touches him. Are you pressing against Jesus or are you touching Jesus? Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank you, guys. Give the Lord a hand. This is the youth. Amen. Many saw him. Many saw Jesus. Only one knew he was Jesus Christ of Nazareth with healing in his wings. One had revelation that he was the Son of Righteousness that can bring change into any situation. It's important as Christians that when we have an inspiration by the Holy Spirit, that we should move, that we should do what the Holy Spirit is prompting in our hearts, because that inspiration brings revelation. 2 Peter 1 verse 21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So let me just use an example. Malachi is a good example, the scripture that I just read. But let's use Isaiah 61. Isaiah was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he wrote and prophesied, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free." Holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit, inspiration that brings revelation, wrote it down. Jesus gets up and he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your presence. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." We should all be sensitive to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit moves, he wants to bring revelation. That thing that seems ordinary that you do can have an extraordinary effect in your life. Her just going and touching the hem of his garment. What did Jesus say? Luke 8 verse 45. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throng and press you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Well, when I was meditating upon this, I said, "God, they all heard your voice, Jesus speaking to them. She heard about him, read a scripture. But that inspiration of the Holy Spirit brought revelation. They were all pushing and pressing against him, but she came and touched him." Can you see the importance to reach up to touch the heart of God? But when you've touched the heart of God and revelation comes, allow God to touch your heart. Because many times those that are pressing against Jesus, they're reaching up, but they're pressing and pushing against Jesus. "Jesus, you do this. Jesus, you do this. Jesus, you do this." And Jesus says, "I want to do this, but I want to do this in your life first. I want to do this in your heart. Now leave my heart alone. I'm just here to press against you, Lord. You don't come touch my heart." Am I talking to the right people here? Let me hear you say, "Reach up and touch the heart of God." Say, "Reach in and allow God to touch your heart." Say, "Reach out and touch the heart of your community." When we have revelation of who Jesus is, it will empower us. When you have revelation of what Jesus Christ has done, allow him to touch your heart. When that happens, immediately you'll go and touch your community. Here's the challenge. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything of being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Family, listen to me. When you go with this as the letter, the law, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not," people are just going to feel condemned. I think it's Romans 2 verse 4 that says, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. The goodness of God. But you need revelation of Jesus Christ, that he's a good God. That he wants to do good things in your life. He wants to use good things. If something bad happened and you turn to Jesus, that's just the grace of God, because God can turn good things around and turn them to be good, turn bad things around to be good. Amen? But that's not the way that he operates. He operates through goodness because he's a good God. Can I just say this? As a minister of the new, or under the new covenant, or in the new covenant, you're not becoming righteous, you're not becoming holy through what you are doing. You are righteous and holy through what Christ has done. And we need revelation of that, because then we'll approach people in a different way. That you are filled with his righteousness, filled with his holiness, filled with his kindness. That his ability has become your ability. That when somebody makes you angry and you're offended, let me see, you got offended this week? Okay, that's just Luke 17 verse 1. The Bible says offense will come to everybody. If offense didn't come to you this week, be ready this coming week. Amen? That's just scripture. But then Paul says, as Christ has forgiven you, forgive. Don't forgive the way that you feel. As Christ has forgiven you, how do you want Christ to forgive you? Completely. When Christ forgives you, do you want to talk about it again? No, we're not talking about it. Jesus says it's gone over. He says, you, as Christ has forgiven you, you forgive now. We need revelation of Jesus if we're going to change a community. The Bible says Philip, when he met with the Ethiopian, what did he do? He preached Jesus to him. When last did you go and preach Jesus to somebody? Philip had a revelation and understanding of Jesus. That's why he could preach Jesus to people. He knew it was not just about seeing his works, but learning his ways. According to Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love and joy and kindness, gentleness. Amen. So, if we're going to change our community and show Jesus to them, this is the way. First, reach up, reach in, reach out. First, touch the heart of God. Then let God touch your heart. And then go touch the heart of the community. But if you try and touch the heart of a community without touching Jesus and having revelation, you need revelation to understand that your relationship with God depends far more on your relationship with the people around you than what you realize. Because if you're not in right standing with the people here, you cannot be in right standing this way. Ena, amen. Am I talking to the right people here today? We need revelation. That if I cannot love you that I can see, how can I come and say I love God who I cannot see? You need revelation of that. You're fooling yourself. If you say I'm just in love with God, but you're offended with people around you and you don't want to make right with him. You're stubborn and rebellious. You think it's about sacrifice, but it's about obedience. I want to make all these sacrifices the whole time unto the Lord. But he says, I'm not interested in the sacrifice. You need revelation to know that it's about obedience and not about sacrifice. When Jesus prayed, your will be done, not mine. If there's any way, Lord, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, your will. He didn't afterwards with a heart of rebellion, murmuring and complaining, go die on the cross for you and me. He said, I'm here to be obedient, and it's my joy to be obedient to your will, Father. Not about the sacrifice, it's about the obedience, because I love you. You need revelation that it's about obedience, not about the sacrifice. Come to church by revelation. Give by revelation. Pray by revelation. Love by revelation. Help by revelation. I need you like you need me. If you have revelation, If I have revelation that the same Christ that's on the inside of me is on the inside of Hendrik, my speech and everything will change. Because I know Jesus is on the inside of him. Paul was the one who had this revelation on the way to Damascus when the Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, I'm not persecuting you, Lord, I love you. I'm killing the bad Christians. He says, no, no, no. I am on the inside of them. And if you are persecuting them, you are persecuting me. And if you are helping them, you are helping me. If you are visiting them, you are visiting me. You need that revelation. That's what Jesus taught his disciples. He says, when you've done it to the least, you've done it to me. Why? Because Christ is on the inside of you and is on the inside of me. You are the greatest product of the Holy Spirit. You are made in God's image and likeness. When you're doing the least, smallest little thing to somebody and you think, oh, it's insignificant, God says, I see that. When we pray for somebody, it's the greatest way of expressing our love. Taking the time to bring somebody before God. Say, Lord, I want to bring this person before you. Maybe they're trapped in something. Lord, I want to come and declare your word over them. The things that you have planned for them, Lord. Judge between what the enemy has planned and what you have planned and overrule the plans of the wicked one, Lord. Let the light of your favor shine into my brother or my sister's life. Let your light expel all shades of darkness. Not come in agreement, they're in trouble. They're bound with that. And declare what you see, but declare what you believe, what God has planned for them. When God gives us mercy to have revelation of who Jesus Christ is, let's go and share that mercy and that grace with other people. The life that we've received, let's go share that life with others. Amen? At the end of the day, the only thing that remains is Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's not what we do. It's what Jesus is doing in us and through us and with us. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Let's stop pressing and pushing against Jesus, but take the time to touch the hem of his garment. When we reach up and we touch Jesus, he'll touch your heart immediately. When he touches your heart, you'll be able to go touch a community and bring change. Let's not push and press against Jesus. I think we push and press against Jesus when we want to tell him what to do, when we give him instruction, instead of waiting for Jesus to give us instruction. When she touched the hem, Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples looked at it from a natural point and said, what are you talking about? Everybody is touching you. Everybody is pushing against you, pressing. He says, yes, they're pressing against me, pushing against me. One touched me. One touched me. Let's be that generation that touches Jesus. Have revelation that one touch can change us. Bring change into my life. Bring healing into my life. Heal a broken heart, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically. One touch from Jesus can change us. Let's have a heart to reach up, touch the heart of God. Allow him to touch our heart. And let's go out and touch our community in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this audio sermon. For more information, please go to our website, www.hoc.org.za. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.